Good morning. Oh, that's not very good. Good morning. Did you guys read the weather? It's going to be 70 this week. Amen. Yeah. That was an obnoxiously long introduction video. I'm going to be honest with you. That's kind of long for me to stand up here for that long. Hey, we're excited today to have Jonathan and his daughter, his wife, and the rest of their family supposed to be with them today, but a couple of their kids fell ill. But one of the things that we wanted to do during our month of generosity is help you understand and get a picture and a vision for what it is that we actually give to. A lot of times I think we forget that we're not just giving to pay light bills and salaries and stuff like that, but your giving actually has an impact on the lives of real people. Amen? I mean, when we give, we see God do things locally, regionally, and we see it done internationally. And one of the things that we wanted to do this month was to have one of our missions partners come in, a missions partner that we've had for quite some time. And I just sat with Jonathan this morning, and it's going to be my prayer and the task of our missions team and their prayer to see how we can increase our partnership with them. They're doing an incredible work down there in an area that I think a lot of people have forgotten about and a lot of folks probably maybe not even care about. And you know, I wasn't super certain about all that went on down there until Jim Pitts twisted my arm every week for like, you know, a month or two and just kind of forced me to get down there when we first moved here. And I'm glad we did. And what God has been able to do through Jonathan and his family and their ministry team is nothing short of miraculous. And we've had a very small part in that. Amen. We've had a small part in that, and I pray for us as a church that we would not necessarily have a ton of missionary partners, but that we'd have strategic key partnerships that we feel led to be a part of that we can invest in greater ways. Amen? And we want to do that as a church. And so next week, I would just want to be real quick before Jonathan comes. There should be in your bulletin today. Brandy's going to talk about this at the end of service so you don't forget. But take this home today and pray over it. Because some of you have never actually given a tithe to the church, and you have two opportunities to do that next week. One, next Sunday is All Tithe Sunday, and so what we want you to do is don't not tithe the day if you normally tithe, all right? We want you to tithe what you would normally tithe in a given work week. The reason we want to do that is several years ago, my wife's grandfather used to say that if everyone in the church gave a dime on every dollar, the church would have everything it needs to accomplish the mission of God through their ministry. And so I just want to challenge you next week to bring your tithe, bring your gift to the storehouse, to the worship center, to the church, and let's see what God can do if everybody in their church does what they're supposed to do. And what I mean by that is we're not talking equal giving. We're talking about obedience, equal obedience and equal sacrifice across the board. So we want to encourage you to do that. So next week will be All Tithe Sunday. And then also some of you are like, man, I've never tithed before. I've never done anything like that. It kind of scares me a little bit. And so we're going to encourage you for 90 days, for the next 3 months, commit to giving a dime on every dollar. And we're guaranteeing you that we promise you that God will bless your generosity and God will provide for you in ways that you've never even seen. I know that to be true. You know why? Because the Bible says so. Amen? And then the last thing is some of you, God's been really good to, and we want to see you. We believe that tithing is the starting point. It's the beginning part that we grow into a place of obedience. And if you would feel so led to increase the percentage beyond 10%, we want to encourage you to do that as well. But either way, we want you to know that we appreciate your generosity, and it's your generosity that makes opportunities like Bridge of Faith a possibility, and we wanted you to see that today. So would you do me a favor today as Jonathan comes to the platform and shares what God has given to him from his heart, would you make him feel welcome this morning?
Thank you so much, Jason. I appreciate that introduction. Most of the introductions that I receive go like this: so-and-so wasn't able to be here, so we called Jonathan McGuire, his schedule's open, and he's here today. So it's good to be with you all. And not only that, but that came with give more money. So, man, that's awesome. I love it. I love talking about the kingdom and what God continues to do in the kingdom. And what an amazing part that we get to be a part of that. It's amazing that the creator of the universe allows us as humans who have failed, who have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, to be forgiven and to be a part of sharing the gospel. That is amazing that we get to be a piece of that and a part of that. Amen? Imagine with me this morning growing up in trauma and no hope. Imagine this trauma being the result of sin. And you've never heard about the cure. Broken, alone, afraid, sitting in darkness, believing that it's your fault. You caused it, and without hope. But imagine with me this morning that you have the solution. Imagine that you have the cure that can speak light into darkness. 1913, Power Site Dam was completed on the White River. You can show the picture there of Rockaway Beach. You see, this is my hometown from the lake. This town started as a result of the first dam being built on the raging White River, Power Site Dam being completed there in 1913. This created a warm water lake known as Lake Taneycomo. The Merriam family came down out of Kansas City, discovered Rockaway Beach, Missouri, and began to build different resorts. It became a thriving resort town from the 1913s up into the early 1960s, even into the 1970s. There were two famous hotels at the time. There was the Brown Hotel and the White Hotel. Bob Barker was a bellboy at the Brown Hotel while he was a high school student at Central High School here in Springfield. And I see that we have some young people in here, so Bob Barker is the guy from Price is Right. He's the original guy. He's the guy that hooked me into Price is Right. I used to watch it every day with my grandpa. He was a bellboy there in Rockaway Beach. Harry Truman, when he was a senator, played poker in Rockaway Beach. College students would vacation to Rockaway Beach. Honeymooners would go to Rockaway Beach. Jack and Pete Hershen's parents vacationed out of Chicago, and they discovered Marvel Cave and eventually leased the ground that started Silver Dollar City. Silver Dollar City was started because the Hershen family vacationed to Rockaway Beach, Missouri. Those of you who enjoy Silver Dollar City, you're welcome. Thanks to Rockaway. 1958, the completion of Table Rock Dam started the decline of Rockaway Beach. Overnight, Lake Taneycomo went from a warm water lake to a cold water lake. And our current lake temperatures is below 65 degrees year-round. Even on the hottest days of the summer, I know, I testify that it is cold. The reason is, there are several things of mine that are in the bottom of the lake. They're still there. Resorts survived the early years at the completion of the dam by building their own pools. 1965, there was known as the 1965 riot. The locals will tell you it was not much of a riot at all. It was 4th of July weekend. Many college students were in town. A couple of them had been drinking. One was riding on the shoulders of another as they rode a motorcycle through town. They were arrested. Several other students got upset, started causing trouble. Some were arrested and taken to Taney County Jail that day because Rockaway's jail was not large enough for them. The prosecuting attorney in Taney County says he doesn't know why, but he immediately picked up the phone and called the governor. The governor alerted the state police. We made the front page of the Kansas City Star, along with several other large city riots that year. This sped up the decline of Rockaway Beach. Resort owners no longer wanted college kids. Families no longer wanted to come to Rockaway Beach. At about the same time, the neighboring community of Branson, Missouri started taking off, and Rockaway Beach continued to decline. Fast forward to 2005. 2005, there was a statewide ballot issue And many in the town thought that this ballot issue would rescue the town. Some of them had bought these resorts when they thought they were coming back to a place that was flourishing, and this was their retirement. They noticed the decline of the town. They had planned that this 2005 vote on casino riverboat gambling would rescue their retirement. And so when Bridge of Faith Community Church was planted in 2005, the rumor throughout the town was that the sole purpose of the church was there to stop riverboat gambling. And in essence, ruin their plans for rescuing their retirement plans. And so we as a church faced a lot of animosity from the city leadership at the time, the citizens in the community, as well as the local law enforcement. Amy and I heard the planting pastor speaking at First Baptist Church in Branson in 2006, and he shared a story of a 15-year-old girl who we later met who was living in trauma, who was much like the ones I described as I started this message. Amy and I knew we had to do something. Certainly, the compelling and the call of the Lord was upon our lives. In 2007, I became the pastor of Bridge of Faith Community Church, and we believe Matthew 18:5 says this: "Whoever welcomes one child like this in my name welcomes me." We at Bridge of Faith believe that if we welcome children in the name of Jesus Christ, that we welcome Christ Himself into our church. And we believe that through the gospel, we can transform generations that transform communities. Southgate started partnering with Bridge of Faith in 2008 when my sister, Ginger Woolley, and her husband, Clay, who were members here at Southgate, felt the call to come lead our youth group at the time. Southgate jumped in with both feet as they were called down there and has not looked back. Southgate's been so generous with Bridge of Faith throughout the years and generous with the people of Rockaway Beach. And I have to personally say to you, thank you, Southgate, because every month, the second Wednesday of the month, you provide enough pizza for everyone who attends Bridge of Faith Community Church. Now, you didn't get as excited as the kids would have gotten if they were here, because they enjoy their pizza night. Let me tell you what this pizza has done. This past fall, I heard about a young man through a teacher in Forsyth School. And the story came to me, and she described this young man who was in class. And she said every day this young man would come to school. At some point within the day, the young man would jump down on the floor, and he'd begin to look through the floor. He'd begin to look around on the floor, and he'd start to say, "I see rats, I see rats, I see rats." He'd go home. Next day, he'd come back to school, same thing. At some point within the day, he'd jump down on the floor. He was just disturbed. He was struggling mentally. He said, "I see rats, I see rats, I see rats." The teacher said one night he attended Bridge of Faith Community Church. He heard the gospel of Jesus. He came back. He told his teacher, said, "Last night, I got to go to Bridge of Faith Community Church, and I heard about Jesus." And the teacher told me, that student, from that day on, never once jumped down on the floor ever again and did that. You know what I love about that story is the fact that that kid's not on our Sunday school roster somewhere as saved with his name next to it. But you know what I love about that story is my Jesus, King Jesus, knows exactly who that kid is. And my King Jesus knows exactly that that kid needed a piece of pizza that night so that he could hear the gospel, that it would change his life. Amen? Your generosity with pizza every month is so much more than pizza. Let me show you something else that happens at Bridge of Faith. And here's something that took place on a Wednesday night at Bridge of Faith. You notice this kid? You notice what he's missing? What's he missing? He's missing a shoe. We saw this kid. He's walking around church like everything's normal. He's only got one shoe on. And so we have the thrift store next door, and so we're like, "Let's get him a pair of shoes." He said, no, I don't need a pair of shoes. He said, "I was about to miss the church bus, and so I couldn't go back in and get my other shoe on, so I had to run and get the church bus, so I just left my shoe behind." Flip to the next slide. You can't see it very well, but you can see on that plate right there, what is that? There's pizza on that plate. When's the last time you got so excited about going to church that you forgot to put one shoe on? Now, I'm not talking about some of you who get dressed in the dark and put the wrong shoe on. True story. Kid was so excited to get to church, he ran off with only one shoe coming to church. Come on. Talk about the power of giving. Talk about the excitement about knowing Jesus. And sometimes when we talk about giving, we get a little cringy, but man, if we had that kid's heart, huh? Jesus, I run to you. I don't care if I got one shoe or not. Come on. What do you do when you're called to a community who has lost hope? Kids are facing trauma. Children are faced with their parents being incarcerated. When we first started at Bridge of Faith, children regularly dreamed about being in jail because that's where their parents were. The good news of Jesus was not prevalent. The economy was broken. Jobs exist in small numbers. Vandalism from children is high. Children are viewed as a liability rather than an asset. Drug addiction is flourishing. Alcoholism is prevalent. And kids are hungry. Let me show you this video.
Hi, my name is Brianna Palmer. I'm 26 years old and I've been attending Bridge of Faith since 2006. I started attending here just a couple years after Pastor Jonathan and Amy started Bridge of Faith. Growing up in this area specifically wasn't the easiest. Rockaway Beach and Marion Woods was labeled as drug addicts, felons. If you lived here with your kids, the odds are you were either poor, your parents abandoned you with your grandma. Like, there was plenty of stereotypes about this area. Me and my friends started attending Bridge of Faith just to kind of like escape reality of our home life, and just reality of like school and everything. We never really came to church in the beginning to learn about God, but just to kind of get away. I remember one very specific time. We were skateboarding down at, now it's the City Hall, but at the time it was an old abandoned bank. And we were skateboarding there, and the chief of police for Rockaway Beach at that time came up and told us, all of us kids, that we would never amount up to anything, that we would grow up to be drug addicts just like our parents were, even though my parents didn't do drugs. So when we really started getting more into church, like I said, it was kind of just like our escape route until Pastor Jonathan started learning who we were individually. Like, he took the time out to get to know me as Brianna, not me as the girl who hung out with all the bad kids. He didn't really categorize us all together. He knew we were friends, but he didn't put all of us in one big category. We were each our own person. And before you knew it, he started to kind of learn more about us. And he would come and get the guys, take them out to eat, take them out to play games, go to the park. Like, he took interest in us kids to make sure that we would not be what everyone said we were. We were respectful enough not to do anything wrong at church. But I mean, the minute church was out, we'd go running down the hill just to get into some huge fight, or right before church, we would sell drugs right outside on the road. We did have enough respect not to do it at the church, but we knew we were safe at church. Like, that was kind of our safe haven. Like, nobody can mess with us. We weren't in any kind of danger. We were safe. We were going to be fed. We were going to get what we needed. If we needed clothes, they would provide it. Bridge of Faith always make sure to provide us kids with whatever we could possibly need elsewhere, as well as our family. It wasn't until, I would say, 2013, I had found out I was pregnant. I was a child. I was still attending Bridge of Faith. And I remember Pastor Jonathan And Amy, and at the time Nadine, told me that it was going to work out, and they're going to be there, it's going to be okay. And they held kind of like a baby shower for me, and I realized even though I'm not the poster child for a church, but I'm also not an addict, and Pastor Jonathan and Amy and the whole church of Ridge Faith, they seen past that. They seen past what everyone else seen, who I was, all my friends, and that is when I realized I'm more than what the community says I am. I'm more than what the chief of police for Rockaway said I was. I was more than what anybody said I was. I got saved right before I had my daughter. And it wasn't until 2021, 2 years ago, I actually got baptized by Cameron, side by side to my little sister at the time. Myself and my fiance, we have talked a lot about it, and we really believed if it wasn't for Virgin Faith, that there's no telling where we would be, to the point that we refuse to allow anyone to marry us besides someone from the church, and my children only know the Christian lifestyle to the best of our ability because we have an entire church body backing us. So, a little bit of my testimony.
The problem seems complex, and it is, but we have a big Savior. Bridge of Faith Community Church has worked to put things in place to address the big issues, to deal with children who are facing trauma and darkness and hurt and pain. And Southgate has partnered and come alongside us in many of these things and made this possible. I had one pastor say to me, he said, the way all this came about is we just hit walls and built ladders over the walls. You got your Bibles, open to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Let me show you this slide as you're turning there. So here's our goal for Bridge of Faith. We look at what it means to be living whole. And by living whole, that means shelter, food, health care, community connection, spiritual connection. And so how do we get there? Well, we have to overcome some stigma. So the stigma that you heard described in that video so well is that our children were uneducated, they're hungry, they're angry, they had low self-esteem, they come from broken homes. Our children were known as the 561. Before cell phones, that was our phone prefix. And so every time the Branson school system picked up the phone to deal with the discipline issue, it was a kid from the 561 phone number. And so therefore, our kids were known as the 561. They were known as hungry, angry, uneducated. So there's this stigma. We also have the cloud of despair that exists over these children and their lives and their families. And that's alcoholism, that's suicide, it's drug overdose. In my first year, 8 years of pastoring there, I did well over 20 funerals that were directly related to drug overdose, alcoholism, and suicide. And so they have to get through the cloud of despair. So what do? So we start them in preschool. We bus them in on Wednesday night. That's the Reach program. That's where pizza comes. That's our first touch point. After we get them involved and engaged in Wednesday night, we'll sometimes get their families plugged in through baseball. We have a baseball field there on campus that starts this spring. We start with our baseball program. We teach them T-ball, 3 years old through 8 years old. On Friday night, we have crowds of people come out, watch the kids play. We announce their names over the speaker. They have their walk-up songs. We do a national anthem. We make much of the kids, and their families come and join and be a part of that. We then plug them into our summer program. In our summer program, we have Financial Peace Junior, where we begin to change the way they think about money. We also have mentor programs and intern programs where you can work for us in the summer as a local student. And Summers at the Beach program feeds them breakfast and lunch for 4 weeks, 4 days a week. We also have an afternoon program, which is a partnership with our school system, and they bring summer school teachers into our building and teach summer school at our building for the afternoon program. It's amazing just watching the teachers get to connect with the kids on their turf, on their ground right there in Rockaway Beach. We also have a greenhouse that changes the way they think about food, so we allow them to plant the food in the spring, and then they eat what they have grown in the summer. And so we had a 12-year-old try a blackberry for the first time in his life, and he absolutely loved it. And so we changed the way that they think about food as well. And then we also have One Heart Biblical Counseling Center that's opening up this June, that we have 5 trained biblical counselors that will be able to counsel people biblically. And if it's sin issue, we deal with it. We have a Living Free program that meets 2 times a week as well. We just opened Bridge Fit, and the reason I'm excited about that is because a lot of the equipment came through a connection here at Southgate, and so it's a fitness center that's there in Rockaway, downtown. We also run 2 thrift stores as well, and those thrift stores have changed the way that our children dress and our people dress within the community, and it's given them clothing that they can afford, and it's just been a beautiful, beautiful thing. And so this is our goal. We start them in preschool, take them all the way through high school and adulthood. And then Brianna, as she grows up, we want them to be the leaders, the teachers, the bus drivers, the future of our church. We want them to lead our church. And so that's our hope and our goal. Here in Mark chapter 2, verse 1, Scripture tells us this. When he entered Capernaum, again after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many people gathered together that there was no more room, not even in the doorway. And he was speaking the message to them. Then they came to him, bringing a paralytic, carried by 4 men. Since they were not able to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above where he was. And when they had broken through, they lowered the mat on which the paralytic was lying. The crowd is so large that some of the most needy can't get to Jesus. Your pastor said that in the introduction. That sometimes the people of Rockaway may have been viewed as a forgotten people. And what I love about Bridge of Faith Community Church and the partnerships that we've had is many people said, don't plant a church in Rockaway Beach because it will not survive. And yet there's churches like Southgate who's been faithful and prayed and poured into and ensured that throughout the years that God's church would continue to flourish in Rockaway Beach, Missouri. And certainly it has. And certainly Rockaway Beach is an area of greatest need. And all throughout Jesus' ministry, we see him with people of greatest need. And so 4 men realize Jesus is there. Their friend's sick. They're not able to bring him to Jesus because the crowd. These guys start to get creative. And I love this. Because I believe God's adventurous and God is also fun. And so these guys take some risk for the sake of their friend. They build a ladder over a wall to get their friend to Jesus. And certainly you can see on the picture of Bridge of Faith that some of the ladders that have been built over the walls are very different. These walls, these ladders are outside of the box of what a church does and is. And I love it about these guys who are carrying their friend to Jesus. They spare no expense getting their friend to Jesus. They dig through the roof. They open the roof large enough to lower the guy on a cot down through the roof. We're talking about the power of giving. These guys give their time. They give their resources. Perhaps maybe they're the ones that's responsible for repairing the roof. They take a risk. Somebody's going to be upset that we tore into their house. And they enter into adventure and they engage in the power of giving. And look at verse 5. Verse 5 says, seeing their faith, Jesus told the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Who does he say seeing their faith to? Does he say to the paralytic? Yes or no? Is he saying seeing their faith to the paralytic? No. Who's he saying seeing their faith to? The 4 guys. Seeing the 4 guys' faith, he speaks to the paralytic. Why do I highlight that? Because it's these 4 guys that are bringing their friend to Jesus. It's these four guys who have went out, who's a guy who's paralyzed on a cart, full of sin, in desperate need of a Savior, and it's the faith of these four guys. And I highlight that this morning, church, because it's essential that we as a church continue to express and show this kind of faith. We have been so overwhelmed with problems and things going on in the world, and our brains have been so clouded that we have forgot that our God does heal sin. That our God can heal problems. That our God does rescue people in homes of brokenness. It's these guys' faith that continues to heal this man. Notice Jesus told the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And he goes on, but some of the scribes were sitting there thinking to themselves, why does he speak like this? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Right away, Jesus understood in his spirit that they were thinking like this within themselves and said to them, why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, pick up your mat and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he told the paralytic, I tell you, get up, pick up your mat, go home. Immediately he got up, picked up the mat, and went out in front of everyone. And as a result, they were astounded and gave glory to God, saying, we have never seen anything like this. This man is in desperate need of healing. And the healing that he needs is more than any doctor, any chiropractor, any nurse, any preacher, or you name it can give him. The healing that this man needs is forgiveness of sin. And Warren Wiersbe says this, forgiveness, it meets the greatest need, it costs the greatest price, and it brings the greatest blessing and the most lasting result. And I've pastored in Rockaway Beach for almost 15 years, and I can tell you that the greatest need that we encounter in Rockaway Beach is forgiveness of sin. And as we talk about the power of giving, is it not astounding that we as humans get the opportunity to use our time, our talents, our feet, our money, our lives to bring people to Jesus so that Jesus can forgive their sin? Brianna on the video, her children at church, every time the doors are open, her children are hearing about the forgiveness of Jesus as a result of Bridge of Faith. And I'm so thankful for the obedience of so many, including Southgate, that make it possible for children to grow up knowing about the forgiveness of sin through Jesus. It wasn't too long ago in our summer program where one student had a tablet and she's going through the YouVersion Bible app. And she got to the part where Jesus had died on the cross. And she started weeping and crying. She said, Jesus is dead. Jesus is dead. He's dead. And the girl next to her was a little bit further in the story. And she said, no, he's alive. He's alive. She's like, no, he's dead. He's dead. She's like, no, fast forward. Go forward. He's alive. He's alive. It's hard for us to fathom that people haven't heard the gospel in that manner to be able to experience it real. But children are hearing the good news of the gospel as a result. Your faithfulness and God's goodness and his grace and his mercy. Poverty is rooted in broken relationship. And it's amazing when you share Jesus, he restores the greatest relationship that is between God and man. And it's amazing how many other things start to heal because of Jesus. So don't miss it when we show that graphic. Building ladders over walls. The greatest one is getting people to Jesus. Flip over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Last scripture I'll share with you this morning. Paul writing to the church at Corinth here in 2 Corinthians. He says this, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God granted to the church of Macedonia. The grace of God is God's unmerited favor. The fact that you and I may not have the same story, although some of you may have the same story as some of the students and kids that live in Rockaway. May not have faced the trauma, but at some point in our life, we were in darkness. We were sinners, broken, lost. And King Jesus reached down in some form or some way through somebody, somehow, and began to share his grace with us, his unmerited favor upon your life. You, me, sinners who deserved hell, and Jesus rescued us. God's unmerited favor. He said, let me tell you about the grace of God granted to the church of Macedonia. During a severe testing by affliction, their abundance of joy, their deep poverty, overflowed into a wealth of their generosity. And I testify that on their own, according to their ability and beyond their ability, they begged us insistently for the privilege of sharing in the ministry to the saints. Not just as we had hoped. Instead, they gave themselves especially to the Lord, then to us by God's will. They begged us insistently for the privilege of sharing in the ministry to the saints. And I mean this wholeheartedly. This accurately describes Southgate's relationship with Bridge of Faith Community Church. You all have begged us insistently. Even sitting before your pastor this morning, he looked across the desk and he said, tell us more of what you need. Get it to me. Tell me about it. And I hear stories about small groups wanting to sign up to come serve on Wednesday night and feeling left out that they don't get enough nights. And I like that. And that's good. You're wanting to serve. You want to be a part. This past Christmas, we do affordable Christmas store. We invite parents to come and shop at the affordable Christmas store. We buy new gifts. We mark them off 75%. We ask the parents what they want. And then before they come to shop, we'll often put those gifts that they have asked for out on the shelf. And then they're able to set a budget, come in, and purchase for their children. And so we're able to give them dignity as they come in and shop for their children and celebrate this Christmas time together. And so one mom had listed that her child wanted penguins. And so we had kind of looked around, but was a little bit overwhelmed by that one. Like, penguins. Like, where are you going to find penguins in Missouri? A couple days before they visited the store, Jim Pitts and Bob Paul came down and they dropped off a bunch of toys, right before this mom was scheduled to shop. Guess what was in the random drop? The biggest stuffed penguin I've ever seen in my life. So amazing how God uses these things to draw people to His goodness and His grace. Let me talk about the victories in our community and I'll close this out. Let me show you this pic. That's our chief of police. It was one evening, it was my son's birthday party, and he pulled up and he said, hey guys, you want a basketball? And he just starts passing out basketballs. That's a little bit different than what Brianna described, isn't it? It's a big change. Our discipleship and care pastor, Jim Harriger, who ran Victory Mission here for quite some time, he's now the mayor of Rockaway Beach. He's been voted in. Amy, my wife, her mom, Jane Peck, she's an alderman. Our next generation leader, Kara Hinkle, her husband, he's an alderman. So three of the five seats are held by church members. All of them have been voted in by the people. And it's our prayer, as Jesus prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. We want kingdom economics. We want kingdom government. We want every bit of the kingdom present in Rockaway Beach. And God has just done a miraculous work there. I love that picture in my head of four men carrying a guy on a cot. 2 weeks ago, my best friend from high school growing up, he came down to visit me, and we were sitting there, we were eating pizza, and I'm not lying, we were, and I looked out over the crowd, and there was kids, and so I just started to tell him, and I can't tell you from here this morning the stories that I was telling him, but I told the story of that kid right over there. Those guys over there. And I looked over here and I told the story over here. And in me telling their life story, I was a little overwhelmed. That in one room, one place. But as I became overwhelmed, I also became flooded just with the goodness of God. And that mental picture hits me this morning. Whenever you come or you start to give here at Southgate, you give. That dollar goes into the offering plate. A portion of that comes to Bridge of Faith. A portion of that buys pizza on Wednesday night. And when you put pizza on that kid's plate, here's that picture that I have in my head. It's that picture of you, Southgate, picking that kid up who feels like they're lost, without hope, alone in darkness, and you throw them over your shoulder and say, hey, let me help you step up over this wall tonight. Here's a piece of pizza. Let me tell you about the goodness of God. College Ozarks, we've been getting donated milk from the students who attend on Wednesday nights, and our van driver started sending half gallons of milk home with the kids on Wednesday night, and he shared the fact that one kid was getting their milk, and they said, thank you so much. I can now have milk with my cereal in the morning. When you donate a pair of jeans to the Pack the Truck event, the same people who struggle with the church are the same ones that can't resist $2 jeans at our thrift store. And all of this that God has done at Bridge of Faith, it really does equal less kids growing up in trauma as a result of sin. The other night, I was driving with Amy, and I said, you know, everybody on the outside looks at us like we're successful, but I just don't know that we are. And she gave me one of those. Would you just be quiet? She says, we really haven't done too many funerals as a result of alcoholism, drug overdose, or suicide in quite some time. We don't know the jail roster as well as we used to. Kids no longer are dreaming about going to jail so they can be with their parents. Oh, the power of giving. Southgate is indeed impacting lives for eternity. And more than milk on cereal, more than $2 jeans, your generosity's bringing people to hear about their greatest need being met, and that is the forgiveness of sin. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for the sweet spirit that's present in this room, God. And oh, Father, I pray if there's someone here today that doesn't know you as Savior and Lord, Father, that they have heard of your goodness, God. They've heard of your grace, how, yes, the world is full of sin, but there is a Savior who is rescuing people, delivering individuals, who's loving on children, who's passionate about welcoming children in the name of Jesus. Yes, there's a Savior who cares. God, I pray that they would realize the greatest need that they're walking through in their life is the forgiveness of sin. And Jesus, I pray this morning for Southgate, God. God, my prayer for them is that you have done a work here, God. And you have been key in moving at Bridge of Faith. And it truly has been an effort of the body of Christ. It's not been one individual, one person, one family. It's been the body of believers, God. And Lord, I pray for Southgate, Lord, that they would be a church that returns to say, Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your unmerited favor. Thank you for your goodness, God. And Lord, we just want to praise you for what you're doing here at Southgate and also around the world and through us and in Rockaway Beach, Missouri, God. Oh, that we would praise you, Jesus. And Father, I pray as we have that picture of four men holding the cot coming to you. God, I pray as Southgate talks about giving, Lord, that our hearts would reflect the young man who didn't want to miss the bus and only had one shoe, God. Lord, let it be with joy, for if it's not with joy, you don't want any part of it, God. But change our hearts, change our minds. Lord, help Southgate to continue to impact the kingdom, to continue to rescue people out of darkness, Father, and bring them into your light. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you for Pastor Jason and his family, God. Lord, I pray that you would continue to do mighty things, Father. For I am confident, God, without your goodness and your grace in my life, and without the prayers of these people, there is no way that my family would still be pastoring in Rockaway Beach, Missouri. So, Jesus, I praise you for them. In Jesus' precious and holy name I pray. Amen.
Would you please stand to your feet this morning? One of the things that I would share with our church as we close out this moment that we have together is this. I don't know about you, but I can't hardly sit and listen to Jonathan and men and women like him that we partner with and not want to do more. Can I get an amen? Amen? And when we give more, we can do more. And that might be giving more of your time, your money. It might be giving more of your heart back to Jesus. So here's the invitation today. It's very simple. And this is what I'm asking our church today. Some have already started coming to the altar. But on this first note, I don't know about you, but who wants to grab a corner of the bed and take some folks to Jesus? If you do, let's come and give our hearts to him this morning so he could work through us. And would you do that this morning if God has spoken to you on this first note today?